Chambers, he describes it as a slim book of words that he's been churning out over the past 18 months. It is a poetry delight. It is a factually correct description. Good morning, Tim Key. How you doing, fella?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am very well. I am very well. Welcome to the show. We have to start with chapters which you describe.
Well, we don't have to. Start where you like.
Well, okay, we'll start where we like. Yeah. We're going to start where I like, and that is with your book chapters.
Fantastic, that's where I would have started. That's what we're here for.
which you describe as your least ambitious project to date.
It is, yeah. I don't know what the way to say this is without swearing, but I churned it out. Yeah, churned it out is the one.
Nice.
Yeah, it didn't. You know, sometimes you write something where there's a lot of pain and you get somewhere really decent. This one was no pain, got nowhere really. But you know, you can sort of dip into it and no pain, no gain. This book is the definition of no gain.
What I quite like about this is if this goes on, Tim, to be an incredible bestseller,
that's a big if. Go on.
Which if it's critically acclaimed, you will be coming back on here to talk about how no pain, so much gain. You know,
yeah, it's a good experiment. If this book goes well, then I think a lot of writers could learn from this. No thought went into this at all. I think a lot of writers, sometimes they finish their first draft and then that's where the work starts. But this one finished the first draft and then published it.
This clip will now be cut up and used in media university degrees around the world. How not to plug a book. It didn't take much time over it. It's out there. It may or may not do well.
Well, I think you're doing it a service there.
what features more heavily in the book? Is it Jack D or Pret a Manger?
Oh, that's a great question. There's a lot of Pret in the book. I don't know. I think that's what a lot of people who read it, they focus on the Pret. There's a lot of fat face in the book. yeah. And I think there's another thing that I'm always doing in the book. But yeah, Pret, I don't know. It's a big part of my life. You must enjoy Pret. I'm not saying that because, you look at like you enjoy Pret, but...
I mean, I enjoy bread more than bread enjoys me.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah, you see, I'm now of an age, Tim, where if I go for the lunchtime sandwich, that potentially could mean a little Bo Peep after lunch. That's...
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I have a little bit of a... If I go too heavy on the bread, it could be a little snooze.
Is it?
After lunch.
Mm. Interesting. Well, there's no shame in that.
You say that.
What age
you
are you, that? Out of interest?
Talk to my wife about that. Am I 53? I'm 53.
Well, you look younger than 53. Not by much.
Not by much. It's that lovely game, isn't it? That whenever people say, how old are... Yeah. So how old are you? And then people go, how old do you think I am? And then what you do is you have to go 5 years younger than you think they are.
They then know that
you're going 5 years younger. Yeah. So then you have to go 10 years younger in order to hit the sweet spot of 5 years younger. You're like...
Well, you know what? We may as well do it. How old do you think I am?
23.
So 28. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, you see? That's how it works. Has any more Harry Caine poems made it into the book?
No Harry Caine poem in this one. I don't think there is. No, my last book, the final poem I put in was a Harry Caine poem. Just as we went to print, I added one in. But I have written one about Harry Caine since, which is a sort of Halloween-themed Harry Caine one, which will go in a book at some point, I think. Yeah.
My son has a Halloween-themed Harry Caine football card. So ooh. I think you may be onto something there for the younger generation.
Yeah. Well, in my poem, he turns into a werewolf in the end when he's taking a penalty.
Is this before or after he breaks the Bundesliga scoring record?
It was written before, but I mean, that's a guarantee, isn't it? Is it? It's got quite a few more to get. Lewandowski's record, isn't it?
It's Lewandowski's record.
Mm, he gets all the other ones. Will he get that? I don't know. I think he might do. He's a good footballer, isn't he, Kane?
He is. And Lewandowski, probably quite a tricky word to rhyme in a book of poetry.
I would not go there. I don't think I've ever rhymed something with more than one syllable. Things like cat, I like. Bake.
You've spoken in the past about how poetry has kind of given a structure to the stand-up that that you previously lacked. Is that?
Yeah, this is good. I've got to say, I mean, you know, it's the unfashionable thing to say, but I enjoy being interviewed by you. You do your research. I think that's a really good question. It's true. You're doing fantastically here.
That's a good question. That's a bad question. See me after.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's completely true. I started doing stand-up about 20 years ago. And, I mean, long story short, I couldn't really do it. I didn't know quite how to do it. When you started, were you fully formed and you still do a similar act now to when to your first five gigs, or are there two things unrecognisable?
What happens is that for me, the first gig, I genuinely thought that I was fully formed.
Yeah.
And then as you progress, people then tell you
that's not the case. When you say people, do you mean audiences?
I would say audiences and critics. I mean,
they're on the same page, aren't they? Usually, those two.
I mean, this is the thing. It's the lie that comedians tell each other, which is what do critics know? Generally, quite a lot. They see quite a lot of comedy, and they have an unbiased opinion of what you're doing.
Yeah, and same with audiences. You can't walk off and go, "Dearie me, what are they all about?" You've got to own it, haven't you? I mean, so basically, when I started, I did it about 10 times and died about 7 times, I think. And the other 3 times died slightly worse. And so I sort of quit and went away. And then the next time I did it, I had poems in my pocket. And yeah, like you say, I kind of had this structure, like a shield. You can kind of, you know, fall back on them. And, you know, if I'm talking to someone or you know, doing some anecdote or something, I know that I can always just go into my inside pocket and pull out the next poem and get it back on track.
Was the poetry, whenever you decided to put on a gig in your mate's lounge, was this Alex? We had Alex Horn on actually a couple of weeks ago. Was this his wedding that you come up with this idea to do the gig in the lounge?
This is great. You're absolutely flying here. I went to Alex Horn's wedding, and then I think we were all just, you know, hanging around at the bar and just sort of just, I mean, it's not a massive thing to decide, but we thought we should meet up more often. And then we went to the pub and I think we decided we wanted to like do things, projects. And the first thing we did was we organised a stand-up night in my friend's lounge and invited 50 people, and each comedian would climb through the window from his garden into the lounge. And Alex Horn was on. Mark Watson, Paul Foot, Trevor Locke.
That's a good lineup.
Yeah,
that's,
we didn't know Paul and Trevor, but we were sort of obsessed, and we used to go and watch them. So then we said, "Can you do this thing in a lounge?" And they did it. So Paul Foot closed it. But yeah, I went on, climbed through the window, and my act was kind of where before it was chaos and I didn't know what I was doing. It was suddenly kind of fully formed. Loved it.
One of the greatest joys an audience member can actually give themselves is to go and see Paul Foot when Paul Foot realises that kind of the wheels are coming off, but he's quite enjoying it.
Yeah.
And then the audience is quite enjoying the fact that he knows that the wheels are coming off, and then the wheels come back on again because he actually knows the wheels are coming off.
Yeah, those wheels are all over the place, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it's some of the best comedy is when the wheels are flying about a bit. Have you seen his new show?
No.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Okay.
It's called Dissolve. It's his best yet.
Okay, we got to get into that. Yep. We got to get into this. Do you regret? I put it to you. Yeah.
let's get into regrets. We've done 7 minutes of positivity.
And I'm going to ask it. I'm going to ask it in a Jack Nicholson in the Stand type. Do you regret not taking the role off Rat in Wind in the Willows?
Wow, what a great question. No, I don't. Because that Rat in Wind in the Willows was an opportunity I had in my final year at university and decided not to. And I think because I decided not to, it meant when I finished university, I still had a sort of itch to scratch. So I think I might, if I'd played Rat, I think it might have all been done and then I'd have got a normal job. And I think because I didn't play Rat when I finished university, I was sort of still on the hunt for something. And that's kind of how I ended up, you know, well, I went into too deep in the end, and that's why I'm here.
So hang on. So we got to talk. So you went to university in Sheffield, and then talk to me about Cambridge Footlights. How does that work?
That is from Cambridgeshire. Lived,
yes.
So after university, went back there, and then went to auditioned for a sketch show, and I pretended that, I don't know. It doesn't matter, does it? Who cares? Water under the bridge. But I pretended I was at Cambridge University to get.
Oh!
Yes. Exactly. So I get all of the benefits, but with instead of like a kind of feeling of resentment towards me, it's just complete cachet because I'm an imp who broke through.
So hang on. So how much of the Cambridge of the fake student life did you actually embrace? What bits did you dip in? I mean, you know, how method did you go?
Well, it wasn't like going buying stationery and things for lectures, if that's what you're asking.
were you turning up in the union and kind of pretending to discuss lectures with people, or did you just turn up for the footlights?
No, I'd sit by the river, like looking vexed with the cover of a book that I should have been reading. No, but I actually think I kind of had all of the good with none of the bad at that place. To get in to study there, that would have been a bit of a stretch. And if I had been able to, I think I'd have been completely overwhelmed by the pressure of it all. So to be there and not have any of the pressure, but have all of the kind of socialising and kind of just being, it was, you know, it's a kind of fun environment there, actually. It was just like being at university, but, you know.
But you weren't.
I wasn't, no. So actually the bits where people say I need to get up early to do a lecture, I'm sort of, although I am saying, yes, I need to get up early and do a lecture, I actually didn't have to. I had to go and do my temping job up the road.
Brilliant. More from Tim Key coming up shortly. His book of poetry called Chapters is available via his socials at Tim Key Poet or utterandpress.co.uk. Thanks so much for coming on, Tim. We've got lots of questions coming in. How near did you get to landing a role in The Crown?
I don't know. Well, you know, I did an audition, and you know, so I got seen, but I don't remember being in it. So something must have gone wrong.
Something was. Did are you allowed to divulge what role you were seen for?
Can do. Yeah, it's the chap Fagin, Michael Fagin.
Yes.
The guy who broke into the Queen's boudoir.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And do you think you looked too friendly?
Yes.
I think that's what it was?
I would imagine it's something along those lines. Either too friendly or not good enough at acting. It's one of the two, isn't it?
You say that. We're gonna talk about your new feature film in just a second.
Oh,
so we both know,
beautiful.
We both know it's not the acting. Tamsin wants to know. Now, I'm confused about this message from Tamsin. She says, I've got tickets to see Tim on April the 5th.
Sure.
For my birthday.
Yep. Yep.
Can you please ask him when he's next on tour? So that the date on April the 5th is a date that's not part of a tour. Is that what she means?
Must be. You never know with Tamsin. April the 5th feels like it's you know, you can have these gigs. You must do these sometimes where you're part of a mixed bill. So
this
I think
what I'm saying.
I think I'm playing somewhere on April the 5th. Must be. She knows best.
But whether
I've got a tour coming up, I don't think I do at the moment. I think I'm at the start of a new thing. That's what's happening.
And is that thing jotting down ideas for a potential new show? Or do you do what nearly every other comedian does, which is they book the venues, put the poster on, come up with a name for the show, and then essentially start to write the show a month before the gigs?
No, I've never done that. That would stress me out. But the thing is, the terrain is changing because if you want to do a tour, you have to, if you want to do it my way, which is to make a show and then once you're really happy with it, book a tour in, then you're not going to be touring until 2 years after you've... they book up so early now. So my promoter wants to do your method, book some venues and then write a show. And that stresses me out. So we are at your friend of mine, an impasse at the moment. But I think I'm going to start writing. And I think once I've got a beer in my bonnet, I think I'll be able to book in the tour.
Okay. Have you given the audience member, this is probably the most random and potentially best question we've ever asked on this show, have you given the audience member who spotted your cancer free tickets for life?
No. I mean, you know, she's just doing her job.
So talk us through what that job was and what did she spot and how?
I mean, the trouble is...
Not the cancer again.
I've caught Rick Edwards in this studio and I don't want him in it.
I'm touching your knee.
Get off me.
I'm
trying to talk about surviving cancer.
I know.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about it before.
Yes, because we're friends in real life.
Yeah.
But this is me doing my job.
Is it?
Yeah, like when you do...
This can't be a job.
It's like when you do fighting talk. You can't be in it.
I'm doing that. That's what I'm here to talk about.
I'm trying to talk to Patrick Keelty. Right, what's the question again, Patrick?
Well, until we were just rudely interrupted, I was just trying to find out how a potential life and death event was averted. But clearly...
We've got Martin Bayfield.
Clearly
we've
the lineup.
We've got Stefan Powell. We've got Bianca Westwood. And we've got someone else on Fighting Talk. Kay Curd.
Right. Well, well done.
Well, I'm done. Thanks very much.
I'm sure,
nice to see you.
I'm sure it's a fantastic show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Listen.
Well, I mean, I must say, for me, the best incarnation was when Josh Widdicombe hosted it. But you know,
I'm more of a Georgie Thompson guy. But okay.
you do what you do.
Thank you.
Welcome to Fighting Talk. 20 minutes earlier than advertised, where guests come on and fall out. Look, if we're going to fall out, Rick,
please.
I suggest we potentially fall.
We'll fall out tomorrow, won't we?
Well, look, what I'll do is, exactly, I'll turn into Stephen Nolan here. This is what I'll do. That's how we fall out. You say that, Rick Edwards, but Manchester United are playing Liverpool tomorrow. I'm supporting Manchester United. Who are you supporting?
It's actually an uncannily good impression. I like that. You should do more, Nolan. I'll be supporting Liverpool and going into it feeling very confident. How are you feeling, Paddy?
Oh, I'm feeling terrible.
Of course you are.
I'm not going to lie. You see, my father-in-law, they're all lifelong Wolves fans. There is a chance that Wolves will be going to Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
And Man United, we've got you at home tomorrow. Is this going to help at all?
Well, first thing to point out, my dad is a Wolves fan. So we've nice. Got that in common, sort of.
Yes.
I don't think so. I mean, Old Trafford's a dump, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's why we're potentially going to knock it down.
Yeah, I mean, you would agree with me. You would agree.
Are you saying it's a dump in terms of the infrastructure and
the technical
aspect of the location, or is that because what's playing inside it every week is rubbish?
All of the above, Paddy. All of the above, yeah.
Can we just sort of find some middle ground and then talk about my melanoma?
Yeah, it's a good idea, actually.
So look, I'm gonna segue here.
It's a tricky segue. Good luck with this.
Here we go.
I'm gonna segue here from
Buckle
Manchester.
Up, everyone.
And, you're spoiled for choice here.
And Liverpool. I feel that what Manchester United need to do is there's certain parts of that squad that just need to be cut out so Ooh. That they can continue and blossom with their career. Which brings me on to your melanoma, Tim.
Well,
can you talk to us about
that? That was eloquent in the end.
I've never really thought of my left leg being like the current Manchester United squad.
And yet. I'm touching said leg right now.
He's touching it again.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what happened, Patrick?
Of course. Well, of course I do, but it's whether Rick's going to let us.
Yeah, go on. I guess I'm going to hear it for the umpteenth time.
I was performing my show.
Here we go.
Yes.
Megadate in the Pleasance in London, in Caledonian Road. And at the end of the show, I am, for various reasons, wearing a little pair of denim shorts and standing in the audience. And then a lady to my left sent an email to my agent saying, fantastic show. In fact, I don't think she did say that.
No, that's but she, an unnecessary embellishment.
I think she said I was at the show and your client should go to his GP and get that checked out. Went to my GP. GP referred me immediately to the hospital. Went to the hospital. The specialist said, I want to operate on that today to remove it. I couldn't do that because I was playing Norwich that night, doing a gig, not involved in football. And then on the Monday, they removed it and it was malignant. And to be fair, this lady probably, actually probably saved my life.
Saved your life.
Yep.
The thing, what's really interesting about this story is that you have just given me a life affirming story about, you know, your cancer being cut out. All I'm trying to work out is Why did she not come up to you when you were wearing the denim shorts? Was that, do you carry
security? You've not seen him in the shorts, Paddy.
Do you carry security with you? Are you standoffish with your audience members to the point where you must be contacted through the agent, Tim?
No, I think what it was from her point of view, just a bit of never meet your heroes. I'm surprised she emailed my agent. Okay. I'm glad she did.
Okay, so what we need you to do, we know that you captained your school football team in 1992, Tim.
Yes, I did. What, to the cup?
Yes.
Yes, we won the school's cup. We beat Linton 2-0 in the final. I was taken off on 60 minutes because I was too cold.
There you go. I know you're often compared to, is it Jan Molby? Is that the style?
Physique.
Vision.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I do. I think I've got Jan's vision. I'll tell you another player who I think I play quite similarly to, and I'd thank Rick just to be quiet for a moment because I do play football with him.
But is you it know Melanoma, the Italian left back?
Too soon. No, it's a certain Jude Bellingham.
I'm taking my cans off. I can't listen to this.
No, hang on.
So you're still here. You're sat next to me. What do you think?
I'm leaving the room.
What we need to know is we need a score prediction from you, Tim, tomorrow. Manchester United, Liverpool for myself and for Rick.
Yeah, it's sort of horrible phrase. You're not going to like this, Paddy.
Really?
No, you're not. 4-0 Liverpool.
4-0.
Yeah. But you're not arguing, are you?
The thing is, there's a pause here, and the pause is part of me wondering whether I would take that. That's the problem.
Bite your hand off.
I'm sitting going, could you make it 3? Could we do a deal at 3?
4-1 and we walk away.
Okay. That is... I'm going to go for... Does it go to penalties tomorrow, Rick, or an extra time, or does it go back to Anfield? What happens?
I lose track, to be honest.
To be fair, Paddy, I think that's moot.
Wait, there's a winner on the day.
I think there is a winner on the day.
Yeah, I think there will be a winner on the day. Nothing
we're
to do with the
time. We're out of time. We're out of time there, folks, with that terrible, shocking news. Rick, who have you got coming up, by the way? Sorry, before Tim's cancer so rudely interrupted you.
Classic, I know. Again, classic case of Martin Bayfield, big old lump. Bianca Westwood, nice size lump. It's a bit cancerous.
Can you stop saying lump?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm right next to you as well. And then Kay Curd, and then Stefan Powell. Simple as that.
There you go. This has been a delight, guys. If you guys could come back in, we can do this all again next week. I will try to perfect my Stephen Nolan impression.
Please do.
Tim Key.
Can I say one thing, Patrick? Because otherwise I'll get told off.
More than one thing.
Well, only one thing. I've got my radio show comes out on Tuesday, and it's a new series. And I need to, for the love of my producer, just mention that while I'm on air.
You just
okay.
That'll be
you've
mad.
Got to, you, you've
that'd
got
be mad
to wait to be asked. You just got to wait to be asked. You can't just crowbar by that stuff in.
I've waited for 40 minutes to be
it's
asked.
Really? Tim. Yes. Nakedly ambitious.
Yes, Paddy.
Tim, I just want to say I'm not a publicist.
No, you're not.
But
no.
If you could tell us what radio station that is on.
Talk
and
sport.
What time. There you go.
It's on a
comes on 5 Live.
It's on Radio 4 at 6:30.
Honestly, this guy loves Hawksby and Jacobs. He does.
And you do know, Rick, as the host of 5 Live Breakfast, that is what they will be cutting up. I love Hawksby and Jacobs. And they'll be playing that over in TalkSport as a trailer for the rest of the week. Tim's new poetry book, Chapters, is out now. Rick is coming up at the top of the hour with Fight and Talk. It is time to open the 5 Live Lounge. So let me-